Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections oder Excel-Superkräfte?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Ich fühle mich plötzlich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Abgabefrist 31. Juli.
Was?
Schaffst du ganz entspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Ach, ja.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On today's big show, Greg Warren with the Warren Report. It's coming up right after this.
How many Freudians does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know how many.
Two. One to screw in a light bulb and one to hold the penis. Ladder!
Now, some more Bob and Tom. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
We don't have time to laugh. We got Greg Warren here. Let's go.
Oh my God.
We're joined by comedian Greg Warren and on the big screen. Greg, behind you, is that Warren G. Harding?
That's Warren G. Harding. He was our president.
I know.
Now, isn't that, he had a mistress and got her pregnant, and she had a baby, and...
While he was in office?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't even want to get into Teapot Dome. Oh.
Oh, no, yeah, you certainly don't want to get into that.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
No.
Yeah, known as a very handsome president.
Really?
Good-looking man.
William G. Harden, they called him.
Yep.
I don't know about that.
I think the chronology may be a little off there,
well,
Josh.
The G stands for God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I gifted,
thought,
was he?
I thought if I sold it, it would help.
Yeah. It did.
Man, I've tried that one, chick.
Okay. Hey, Greg, before we get to it, over the course of many years, you've had some great stand-up shows, great success many times. Do you have a favorite thing that you worked on for a long time that just never quite landed?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a couple. Yeah.
Do you want to share one with us? We'll give it a fair shake.
Well, I just can't seem to get this bit to work, but I always thought it was interesting that the only food that is prepared table side is guacamole.
Right.
Like, they must have been doing some shady stuff with guacamole back in the day where they had to, you know, like now they're like, oh, no, you can see what we're doing. It's all above board here. These are real avocados. None of the green Play-Doh stuff that was going on back there. Just so you know, it's all
like
above board.
I like that very much. I like that very much.
Yeah, I can see why that didn't work.
Now, is there some kind of a coda or some kind of a leads to... You know, they also do Caesar salad tableside or something, or no?
Well, no.
No, the premise is that it's only the one thing.
Yeah,
no, you don't want to.
Yeah. If I say that there's other stuff, you know, I have to pretend like it's the only thing. You know, and it kind of is, you know. So.
Yeah, I like it. License, isn't it weird that it just, for whatever reason, wasn't flying?
I mean, people sort of laugh, like, you know, just politely chuckle. Yeah, it's now they've.
Well, they do that for my whole set. I don't have a problem with it.
I know. We've tried to talk to you about
this. Is the tableside guac still a thing? I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
I know cheesecake. They stopped their guac, right? The guac's gone.
Yeah, they did. They did. But they weren't tableside, chick. They weren't.
Yeah,
tableside.
It all happened in the kitchen. Yeah, that's true.
Secret.
Yeah. A couple of chain Mexican restaurants do it.
Yeah.
And your better, you know, private upscale Mexican restaurants do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've only seen it once in the last year.
I'm not giving up on the bit. We're going about 15 years on that.
Should we have people maybe see if you can give a little live assist from the audience? You can text us Bob and Tom at bobandtom.com fixing the guac bit. Maybe if it lead into something else.
He's a professional comedian.
I know he is. It's a good pro.
Yeah, Christy, but it hadn't worked with this bit.
Okay.
Fix the guac bit, baby.
What was the premise again?
The guacamole is the only thing where they prepare it at right table side. So then the question is, what happened to cause this? Was there some kind of incident in which people were concerned that something was going on in the kitchen?
The FDA stepped in and said, you got to do this. It's all above board now.
We're looking for a cause of why they have
it. Well, wasn't there a story going around that they were using avocado in guacamole at some restaurants?
That was a story fairly recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because the price of avocados
and
is skyrocketing.
I forget what they were replacing it with.
Yeah, there's some kind of vegetable that they grow in Mexico.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that I saw some survey where they went into famous restaurants in New York City, and more than half of them, the fish was misidentified.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. You'd order one, and it was, in fact, something else. Mm-hmm. So,
Tom, you told me that calamari is...
It's a pig anus.
No, it's not.
Not always, but there have been cases.
That's an absolute fact or an urban legend.
It's not.
What do you have for us, Greg A?
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Louisville this weekend, so I thought I'd do a segment on the history of the Louisville slugger.
Oh,
all right.
Baseball bat. Yeah.
Well, now, Josh, that's interesting, Greg. Now, you know, the Louisville Slugger, the museum is right there in downtown Louisville.
Yeah.
And
right at
the top of the it's a giant baseball bat now, isn't it, Greg?
Yes, it is.
It's just a majestic sight. But at the top of the bat, there's a restaurant.
120 feet.
Yeah, 120 feet.
Yep, there's a room up there rotating.
It's called the Top of the Bat, and you go up there and you have dinner.
Top of the Bat.
Yeah. It's one of the finest locations of overhead rotational dining.
Sure.
I'm familiar with that restaurant, chicken, that I was a regular listener of the Bob and Tom show when I used to go to work at Procter & Gamble in the 90s, in the mid-90s. I was a giant fan of the show. I was a big fan of yours, Chick, and who would have known?
Thank you.
25 years later, you'd be, you know, talk about Scotch tape today.
And now we're the best of friends. Isn't that nice?
By the way, speaking of things that are fake, here we go. Christy, you were correct. Soaring avocado prices were leading to phony guac made with squash.
We're
into K-A-B-C-D. What did I say? K-A-B-C. Television.
My God, stop it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H.
Phony guacamole.
1855, J.F. Hilrich, he immigrated to Louisville from Baden-Baden, Germany. A lot of famous people from Baden-Baden. Comedian Bruce.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Lisa, Cult Jam.
Sure.
Sirhan.
He was not one of the less desirable exports.
Right.
Mark, who later changed his name to Marky Mark.
Funky
bunch. Yeah. And then some foods came from Baden-Baden, too.
Is that right? That? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, couscous.
Sure.
Yeah. And shrimp came from Baden-Baden, Germany. Josh, you know what kind of shrimp?
Mm-hmm. Bang bang.
Yeah, that's right, Christy. Bang bang shrimp.
Sorry, Josh.
No, that's fine.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
I will always have a complicated relationship with this game, but people evolve. So do sports. Do not make me regret this. Do not make me devolve back to that guy that so many clones wish that I still was. And do not embarrass the entire country. Now, I can go back. I can get there fast. Lose tonight, and you got a real problem. Do not blow it.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
You've been warned.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
So he opened a woodworking shop in 1855 in Louisville, and he had a son named Bud, and Bud was an amateur baseball player. And one day, Bud, who was 17 years old, snuck off from work to watch the Louisville Eclipse play. That was the pro baseball team, and their best player was Pete Browning. Pete's an interesting guy. Had a couple of nicknames. One was the Louisville Slugger. Two, the Old Gladiator. Are you not entertained? And Pete was a great hitter. He was their best hitter. Really good hitter. had to be a good hitter because he was a terrible fielder. His manager said, I'd rather have a wooden statue in the outfield because there's a chance the ball might hit the statue and bounce back towards the infield. Also, I love this about Pete. He was a bit of a prima donna in that he wouldn't slide. Yeah. Slide, Pete, slide. Are you kidding me? My mom would kill me. She just washed this uniform. Yeah, so Pete, a great hitter, was having a rough day when young Bud watched him. He was mired in like a two-week slump, and his bat broke. So Bud went up to him and said, hey, my dad's got a woodworking shop. You want to go back and we'll see if we can't make you a new bat? And they did. And he sat there and he told them what he liked about bats and stuff like that. And they made him bat out of white ash. Next day, Pete went 3 for 3.
Oh,
how about that?
Yeah. Now, the word got out and people came to the woodworking shop to have a bat made. But Bud's dad did not think there was any future in baseball bat making. So he turned him away. You guys, I want a bat like Pete's. We don't make bats here. Go on. Go on. We don't, no baseball bats here.
Nothing but table legs.
That's what they, Josh, that's what they made. They made table legs and butter churns.
Really?
Butter churns, steer railings. Wait, you want a butter churn? Come on in. Otherwise, you go on.
You're insane. Tell
your ball player, tell your ball player friends, we don't make bats here. They can go on, too. You leave the premises, or I'm going to hit you with this rounded club that I got right here.
Yeah, we do make guac, though.
Yeah, yeah. Like table side.
Right, oh, that's
right.
Yeah,
there's a table.
Better hurry up and flesh out that joke before that guac turns brown. I'm just saying.
Eventually, the son's enthusiasm won out, and the dad was like, okay, I guess we can make bats. Bud took the business over in 1894, and he did a pretty amazing thing. Bud was the first guy to do an athlete endorsement deal.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's right. He got Honus Wagner to put his name on a bunch of their bats, and they sold the bats in the stores. Chick, do you know the nickname for Honus Wagner?
Hoppy.
No.
It wasn't Hoppy.
Anybody?
Daddy Wags.
I'm surprised Tom doesn't know.
Homer?
This.
Big Daddy Wags.
No, he was good. He was very good. Played for the Pirates. He was the Flying Dutchman.
Ah.
That's not true.
I didn't think so. I thought that was Sally Field, actually. But
that's what no, I thought.
That's the Flying Nun. Nun.
Yeah, no, that's...
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, he was the first guy to do sports endorsement deals. Tiger Woods and all those guys, Michael Jordan, they owe the old.
Well, that's where his baseball card. He was that was on the tobacco company.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's right, man. That's, yeah. And that's the most valuable one. Right, Chick?
Yeah. Yeah. It just sold for over $6 million. Yeah.
$6 million for a Honus Wagner card?
Yeah.
But I'm guessing the players probably didn't get any of that money.
Oh,
probably not.
I mean,
Honus is Flying Dutchman's not around anymore.
No, but I don't mean from the $6 million. I mean, for the original baseball cards, I'm doubting if even then the
team owners
graced them with any
cash. I tell you what you get a stay here, all right? Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
You get to play.
All right.
You get a dollar.
Did you have a baseball glove chick with a player's name in it?
I did not. I couldn't afford one with a player's name on it, so I got, I think it was a Mizuno before Mizuno kind of sort of blew
up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was no name in it. No.
How about
Josh,
you, Greg?
Did you have, I had a Richie Zisk.
Oh, Pirate, right? Yep. Pittsburgh Pirate?
I think White Sox for most of his career.
Oh,
might have played a little with the Pirates.
I had a Cleet Boyer, but it was signed by Vic Davalio.
Oh, okay.
That might be
Was Vic
something.
Totally fine
oh,
signing
really?
It?
Yeah, Vic signed it, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Josh, how about you?
Yeah, I think it was a Randy Johnson.
Well, that's
and,
good.
The big unit.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that? Nice. Remember when Randy Johnson blew up that pigeon?
Because it was a closed
man. Oh man,
closed basket.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
that's a one in a million shot,
yes, sir. If you're having
you know, the pigeon is in Cooperstown too.
Well, parts of it.
Well, in a coop. Yeah.
If you're having a bad day, go Google Randy Johnson hits a pigeon.
Yeah,
it's incredible
pitching.
He felt bad about it too, man.
Yeah.
Was it in Seattle? Maybe.
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
The pigeon never had a chance.
Never.
Didn't even know what hit him.
No.
Well, the pigeon
was a curveball.
Yeah, the pigeon was looking for a curveball.
Fastball, man.
Did the pigeon take first?
Could have been the knuckler. Those things bounce all over the place.
Take a base, Bird.
I'm sorry. let's get back to the...
Let's get back to
the Louisville Slugger.
Bud had the business, but Bud was not much of a marketer. He was good at making bats. He hooked up with a guy named Frank Bradsby, and that's when it became Hillrick and Bradsby. They took a little brief time off. They sold World War II products. You know, they help with the war cause. They sold gun stocks, track pins for tanks, and billy clubs.
Wow.
I feel like maybe we should have equipped our soldiers a little more. Hey, can I get a gun? No, you ran out. Here's a billy club. Yeah. Do your best.
Fell over there, got a Luger.
Do your best.
You get a...
You get a stick.
You get your bat left or right. I guess it doesn't matter.
Keep running your mouth, you won't get the stick.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
They wound up selling golf clubs for a time, and then they branched out into aluminum bats in the 1970s, which I think we could have ended the war a couple of years early if we had aluminum billy clubs. But
people didn't like the sound of them, though, so they preferred the war.
Yeah,
they only used those in college.
Yeah. College wars. College World War II.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. If you use the aluminum billy clubs, people could get hurt. a lot of baseball players used Louisville Sluggers. Ted Williams said he would have been a .290 hitter without a Louisville Slugger. Huh. Ted was a career .344 average, which is insane.
Teddy baseball.
Some of the biggest bats that people used. Babe Ruth used a 50-ounce bat. Josh, now,
that's insane.
Business. Yeah, it's nuts, right?
Yes.
What's a normal bat? I have no idea.
32, 33.
Yeah, when I was playing in Little League or whatever, a 36-ounce bat in football. 36.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, that's like the biggest now.
Yeah.
50 ounces.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I think it's 54. Josh would probably know better than 32 to 54, Christy.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Some of the other guys that use big bats, there's a guy named Dick Allen that played for the Phillies, who used a legendary big bat. Roberto Clemente, Mo Vaughn for the Red Sox, and Bryce Harper supposedly warms up with a 47-ounce bat in the cage.
Okay. I could see that.
Hmm. It's nuts. Some of my favorite baseball bats over the years. You can find this one in the Hall of Fame. The one that George Brett used and got thrown out of the game, and they reversed the game because he had pine tar. Too much pine tar on the bat. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that film of George Brett running towards the umpire like he wants to kill him.
Yes.
He's standing in the dugout, and they make the ruling, and
he loses his mind.
Here he comes. Yeah.
Yeah, he was furious.
They reversed that,
and the Lee McPhail reversed that.
Do they have the famous cork bat that Sammy Sosa was...
I don't know about that, man.
It quite clearly was modified, if you will.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he did it.
yeah. What does corking do?
Yeah.
Makes it lighter.
You get more bat speed.
Have you seen Sammy lately? He's modified himself.
I don't know what's going on, but yeah, he absolutely is. He's almost... I don't know if you'd reckon... Well, yeah.
It's a very odd look.
It is.
I want to mention that Greg Warren is going to be at the Caravan in Louisville. That's starting this Thursday evening, running through Saturday for some great live stand-up comedy. And by then, we hope to have a tag for the Guac Hunk. The Guac Hunk.
Yeah, man. I hope so. But we're going 15 years on that bit, Tom. It just
happened. I like it. I like that. Thanks. Set up.
I wouldn't worry too much. I mean, you got enough strong. In fact, over this past weekend, the two shows I had, I did Flute Man, and it still works, man. Still kills.
That's a strong bit.
Yeah.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
The place where I, Megan Klingenberg, a World Cup expert, teaches you everything that you need to know for this summer's World Cup.
How special is it that we've been able to follow this young group of guys?
It's been such a roller coaster of emotions.
You can feel the intensity.
Quite a bit of time, energy, effort, everything along the way on these guys making the country proud. And I think they will this summer.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast, presented by Henkel. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.